Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 68. What do you got to say about 68?
I thought it was 68 last time.
Was it? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I think it is 68 because I did do a check.
Oh, so it was 67 last time.
You're good at math.
I'm really good.
You are very, very good. So our number, if you care to call, is 206-333-1003. That number again, 206-333-1003. Do you remember last week, by the way, did you like the way I did that?
Uh-huh. You sound like
voice.
An announcer.
The radio announcing voice.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was going to look for letters that matched our phone number.
Oh, okay.
You know,
right,
like...
Right.
Like... One, two, two, no, what's that? Empire. Okay, I'm being silly. But I couldn't find any, mostly because our number has a lot of zero zeros and ones.
Oh.
And those don't have numbers. Mm. Now, the one thing we have is 333, and that's actually the last three letters of my first name. F. E-F-F.
Okay.
So, that's our, just remember that, and you got the number.
Sort of. You got three digits of it.
Well, it's been a while since we did a show because I'll tell you, I have 29 pages of material here. We can't possibly get through all this stuff. And you got a little file folder full of stuff there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
Here you go. Yeah, it's been, what, at least 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, we had, I think it's been at least that. We've had, what holiday? What is that? Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. And I was just telling you beforehand, I went to two parties, and I was basically traffic jam, went from traffic jam to traffic jam to traffic jam, and it was just a horrible day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks. In Dallas, too.
Mm. Oh, man. It felt like I was in L.A.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I was in Vegas, and yeah, there was traffic jams in Vegas also, but it was 106 and felt like you're walking in an oven, so.
Yeah. By the way, if the casual listener hears a little bit more noise in the background, because I'm such a audio perfectionist, I feel bad about doing it, but I did keep the AC on today because it's just hot outside, and you know
it's about 102 here in Dallas.
Yeah, so I had to keep the AC on. So if you have trouble hearing us, then you know why. I know you're not having, but the signal to noise ratio is a little bit larger than I would like.
Oh, stop being a geek.
I know. Speaking of geek, we had the new iPhone come out.
Yes, we did.
Do you have one yet?
No.
Do you want one?
No.
How come? How could you not want an iPhone?
Well, have you bought your second generation iPhone already?
Oh, no.
Did you trade in the first for
no,
the second?
No, I did not. I don't really care for the second. I mean, I don't need it. I'm happy with the first generation. But I did get a new iPhone. I mean, I did get new applications, which make it a new phone. And I wanted to share some of the cool stuff I got.
Oh, okay.
Because we got all new software.
Wow.
So even us old generation iPhone people... The ones with the canes, we still get a little bit of kickstart to get some cool things. So there's a couple applications that quite frankly amazed me.
Wow.
And
I'm hard to amaze. You are hard to amaze.
One is called Shazam. Okay, you know what this does? You click on the application and then you hold it in front of a radio, a song is playing or any sound source, and it tells you what it is. It tells you who it is, what's playing, where the albums come from, and it even usually has links to an iTunes so you can listen to it and buy it.
And that's amazing, huh? Ooh.
I cannot.
So
I mean,
can you do it in a store? Like if you're listening to this
music
in a store?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, you can do it anywhere. I did it in my car. All the audio noise, it gets it every single time.
Does it really? Name that tune,
it's
Shazam.
It's very impressive. It's very impressive. I find it amazing.
You have some extra time on your hands, right?
Well, it's really fun. I'll sit there at the radio all day long. Ow, got it again. I really haven't tried it for class. I don't think it can do classical music. But I don't know. I've been Googling, trying to figure out how the pattern recognition, just a little bit about the algorithms, because, you know, I'm a nerdy that way, and I'm just curious, and I couldn't find anything.
Oh, it's a proprietary secret.
I'm sure it is. I'm not going to copy it, but I'm just curious. Do they go with beats? Do they go by an overall EQ picture of the song? Anyway, I don't know. The other one that was pretty impressive, and I don't really have a use for, unfortunately, but it's impressive technology, is called Remote. And what it does is you download this application into the iPhone, click on it, and it says, okay, I'm in my house Wi-Fi. Uh-huh. I got the Wi-Fi on. Mm-hmm. Okay, we found iTunes, Jeff A. Strikes Music, uh-huh. which is what my iTunes library is called on my Mac. It found it. And then it says, do you want to connect to that? And I was like, yes. And then there's a box of where you have to enter a PIN.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know my PIN. It says, if you don't know your PIN, look on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
I go to my Mac, and on iTunes, where there wasn't one before, this is the PIN you use to connect to this application. I'm sitting here thinking, I can't believe this is doing this. I don't know how it's doing it. I mean, it's connected through a Wi-Fi, but
so it's letting you make your phone be, what, an iPod?
So it's a remote control. So I have all the iPod capabilities that I have on the Mac through my iPhone. So anywhere on my, like I said, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to use it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But anywhere in my house, in my home network, my Wi-Fi network, I can control my Mac's iTunes completely.
You definitely have too much time on your hands.
But it's really cool, and it did it all so seamlessly and amazing.
Wow.
That's neat technology.
Yeah.
So the other.
Let us know when you figure out what to do with it.
Well, I can see using it at parties and stuff. And if I had my iMac connected to my home stereo, then it would just be a remote control for the stereo, and that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I have the other applications that I did download were Facebook, MySpace, WeatherBug. Facebook and MySpace are just, you know, access ports to those websites that are just a little bit nicer. Twitterific, which is for Twitter. Box Office, which I love because it actually ranks things by the Rotten Tomatoes meter, which I love. Recorder, actually, this is my third favorite. Recorder, it's so simple. But now I can make recordings in my iPhone. It's just very simple interface. It's like record, stop, playback. And the quality is not bad. It's good for memos and things. I wouldn't record a podcast using it.
Okay. So if you're in the car and you wanted to make a memo to yourself.
Exactly. Like very simple, but you know, didn't do that before, and it's very easy. And I could, I have a story later. I'll probably talk about a friend of mine's dating experience with this one date. And she was telling the story on Sunday afternoon over margaritas, and I almost pulled out my iPhone. So let's just get this down. The quality is not going to be that good because she told it much better than I could.
Uh-huh.
But I forgot. Anyway, so, okay, so that's it. That's all I wanted to say. The iPhone, I got goodies. Even though I didn't buy a new phone, I didn't spend anything for that.
That is kind of nice.
So, there you go.
Did you know that you were getting them? Did they tell you ahead of time?
I didn't know what applications would be available, but yes. And in fact, any third party coming out with applications, I get now. Now, some are pay for applications.
Oh.
All these ones, actually, out of all these were free except the recorder one. That cost me $1. Definitely worth it.
Oh, wow.
So?
Well, that's exciting.
So jealous, aren't you?
Well, not really.
Admit it.
Okay.
No. She is green with envy.
Yeah, that's me, all right. I'm green. Hey, well, you know what you can do with your spiffy phone? I bet it has a calendar, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you can go to December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
And you know what you can mark on that space?
What?
You can mark that's going to be the end of the world.
Oh, no. Really?
That's it.
I think I have plans that day.
In case you missed it, it's December 21st, 2012. So survival groups around the world are gearing up and counting down to the mysterious date that's been anticipated for thousands of years.
It seems like every time, any time in my lifetime, we've always had a termination of the world day.
Uh-huh.
And it's come and gone, and then a new one is set.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the new one. And you know what this one's based on? It's based on ancient Mayan society, which were known for their advanced mathematics and astronomy.
There you go.
Followed a long count calendar that lasted 5,126 years. And guess when that calendar ends?
I would guess December 12th, 2012.
December 21st, 2012.
Oh, wait, it's 12-12-12.
12-21.
Oh, 12-21.
12-21-2012.
Oh. So what about Santa Claus won't come that year?
It's the winter solstice. So...
Uh-huh.
See, when they translated their charts into the Gregorian calendar, the international standard used today, the time actually runs out on that date. And so all these apocalyptic groups have been saying that that's going to be the end of the world. And also what's supposed to happen is the sun is going to align with the center of the Milky Way for the first time in 26,000 years on that day, which marks the winter solstice. And some say that that's going to disrupt the energy flow to Earth, and there'll be a high rate of sunspots or sun flares that could affect Earth's magnetic fields. So scientists are trying to squash this doomsday scenario, but if you look for 2012, the end of the world, on Google, you get 700,000 hits, and there's 6,500 video posts about that day on YouTube already.
Wow.
There's countless books on the topic.
So our listeners listen to this podcast to get advice.
There you go.
What advice are you imparting to our listeners? Should we just drink, smoke, eat, get fat, because it doesn't matter because we have 4 years until we all die, or should we not save for our, you know, blow all our retirement money and not save?
Well, this guy.
Or should we go ahead and...
You can stock survival supplies. Which is what this one guy did. A 53-year-old worker from Belgium quit his job 2 years ago. He saved enough money to last him until December 2012, and now he's stocked a survival supply list, which is 11 pages long. And he's getting ready because it's coming.
God.
Oh my God.
Some people have to have a passion in life, and that's a passion.
I probably know.
Just imagine how disappointed he's going to be when he wakes up on December 22nd.
Yeah. He goes, oh my God, I'm still here and I'm out of money. And
I'm out of money.
I have a ton of canned beans. I don't know what to do with them.
My career is in the shitter because I've. What have I done?
Oh my gosh. So
well, maybe the end of his life will be December 23rd because he'll be so distraught and he'll end it.
He'll end it. So just FYI, mark your iPhone calendar.
Okay, well, I have my iPhone calendar coordinated with the Mac's iCal and Google Calendar. So it's all.
Well, how about the Mayan calendar? Because then you would have known that it was ending.
You know, that is a problem. That's probably a Mayan calendar application, but
you haven't downloaded it.
So I had some random observations I wanted to share at the top of the show here.
Okay.
First of all, yesterday, I don't watch a lot of TV news. You know, I'm not working right now, but when I sit and have my lunch, I'll turn on, you know, the news.
Uh-huh.
So I get about 10 minutes of it. So I turn it on, and I watch CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they're doing? They're talking about the upcoming hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at the Corpus Christi news website. And they're clicking on links and they're reading them.
They're reading the rest of it, yeah.
I was so appalled.
They don't do that all the time. But they do have an internet section or an internet segment now where they show you what's going on.
I think that that's... Well, I don't even know if that... It wasn't... I've seen that session where they kind of go through the... What's going on in the blogs these days?
Right.
This, I think they were just trying to cover the hurricane.
Oh, no. So, I've been watching them cover the hurricane and they've really been covering it.
Yesterday, though.
But I guess they had to fill some time.
So maybe that was it. Okay. So I caught it in a bad... Anyway, I quickly changed the channel. And I will have to say this observation. I almost hate to say it. But every time in the last 3 weeks when I sat down and had my 10-minute lunch, I flipped through the news stations. Mm-hmm. They're in the 200s on my satellite. Fox is always the best. I hate to say that, but they always have the more relevant and interesting and deeper news. I'm not saying their viewpoint is correct, but CNN always has crappy stuff on.
Well,
in my little sample size.
We watch it at lunchtime sometimes, too, but I don't see that.
Okay. That's interesting.
And I watch it in the evening, too, so I'm still some breaking news, and it does cover the hurricane with its own meteorologist.
Talking about the hurricane again today, and again, this made me laugh, because I went on to CNN.com at about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock today, and the first thing, the big story is the hurricane. Click this video. I clicked the video, and it's just what we've always seen before with this reporter guy blowing away, talking about crap we don't care about.
The electricity's off.
He's just purely there to blow away.
There was one this morning.
And Gretchen, I can't take it seriously anymore because it's such a cliche at this point. It's overdone. There he is blowing away.
There was a skinny little guy in the Today Show this morning, and the winds were like 55 miles an hour, and he couldn't stand up. He was so skinny, and he was really moving. He was blowing away.
Wow. Mm. All right, one more quick observation, and this is going to show how maybe dated I am or something. But I went to go to Target last night to pick up a CD for a friend. Now, I haven't bought a CD in forever, right? Because you just buy them electronically. I was just surprised, I guess maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, that basically in the audio-visual section of Target, there's hardly any CDs. It's mostly videos, DVDs. Maybe a couple racks of CDs, and they didn't have very much. And there was even within the CD racks, they had like iTunes, like cards.
Gift cards. Gift cards, right.
In fact, that was probably more of what it was. There wasn't many CDs for sale at Target. So just an interesting sign of the times. Not that Target, I don't think, was ever a huge CD retailer. But
like maybe a Circuit City has more now. You know?
Yeah, perhaps so.
Yeah, I was in there a couple months ago, and they had quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I hit the wrong place.
Well.
Still, it was amazing.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but what?
Hey, have you been hearing that? Do you have any friends who have just graduated from college? Or any kids' friends who have graduated?
I don't think so.
Well, it turns out that I've been hearing that it's hard for new graduates to find a job right now. It's kind of a tough job market.
Okay.
And it is kind of a challenge. So a report just came out that said the highest paid college majors, and I just thought it was kind of interesting that so the ones that are in demand, where the money are, where do you think they'd be?
Engineering.
Of course. Engineering. But which engineer?
Electrical, mechanical.
Chemicals, number one.
Chemical, huh?
61,000. Starting salary.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember what you made?
Right, yeah, starting engineer, industrial engineer, 27. And that was a healthy salary at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wow. And then computer engineering, electrical engineering, computer science, civil engineering, and economics and finance and accounting, in that order, and math. So all those topics that are traditionally male-dominated.
Yeah.
There they are. They're in the top. Those are the top 10. And then business management, marketing, poli-sci, biology, history. And then comes lowly English, communications, sociology, graphic design, psychology, and criminal justice. Psychology makes about 34,000.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just kind of a bummer. But and when you think that that's what you're going to make, and a private school costs roughly 33,000, so. You know, it's going to take a while to pay back the debts.
Yeah. Well, maybe that takes away the case for private school.
Yeah, that's a year. So.
Well, I got a fascinating study about Facebook users. So, are you in Facebook or MySpace or any of those?
Nope.
Okay. So, you're a loser. That's what the study says.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, it's interesting. It says Facebook users, it showed that people that have more friends offline have more friends online. And so it basically, here, our results seem to justify that the rich get richer hypothesis, which states that the internet primarily benefits extroverted individuals and that introverts communicate online less often, just like they communicate less often offline, too. So it's not, I think oftentimes we think of the Facebooks and the MySpaces as places where introverts kind of go in and make friends. Uh-huh. And that's not really happening so much. They don't make as many friends either because they're just not quite as social. This is kind of interesting. Let's see. 93% of the students that they surveyed on this had Facebook accounts. The average student spent 45 minutes on the site each day. Among the major findings, the most often cited reason for using the site was to check upon real life friends and acquaintances. Passing the time or avoiding boredom was listed as a big reason that they would go. And there are not very many people reported using this site as a means for developing romantic relationships or finding new people. Now, I actually met a friend of a friend recently who said their last three dates, this person's not a big dater, but like last three dates in the last year, were all from Facebook. And I have a Facebook account, and I'm like, really? You can date? I mean... And I know a girl that used MySpace for dating, but I don't think of those sites as dating. I haven't met any new people on those sites either. So I guess that shows my age a little bit.
So it's just a way to communicate with people you already know.
To keep in touch with people that I know. Like, if you go to my Facebook and MySpace, you'll see people from my high school on it, you know, that we kind of reconnected. And that's a way of kind of, you know, sharing silly jokes with people that you went to high school with. Woohoo.
Okay. Do you spend 45 minutes a day on it?
No.
So what age were those people?
These surveyed were college.
Yeah,
and as long as I'm speaking about that, can I talk about John McCain a little bit?
Sure. He's on Facebook too? He's the typical demographic, right?
He is such the typical demographic. No, did you hear about John McCain recently? He's basically, here's what he said. I'm an illiterate when it comes to the web who has to rely on his wife for any assistance he can get. And I think he's actually uttered I don't know how to use the Google at one point. And let's see. So his aides are trying to clean this up. 71 asked about his web use last week by the New York Times, said AIDS says he goes on for me. No, go on for me. I will have that down fairly soon. Getting on my, okay. Sorry. I misread that one. But he is 71 years old, 35.
Soon to be 72.
Oh, is it soon?
Yeah, very soon.
Oh.
I think it's August.
Uh-huh. So, only 35% of Americans over 65 are online. However, when you factor in things like race, wealth, and education, about 3/4 of white college-educated men over 65 use the internet. So even in John McCain's demographic, he's very much of an outlier.
Huh.
Now, the defense can be, you know, did he ever need the internet? He's got AIDS,
he's got
information coming at him from all these different sources. It's all being vetted, you know, properly, where if he used the Google, he would have to vet it himself. But at the same time, there's also criticism of this that's saying, you know, come on, how can you not want that instant access to information,
because as a human being, wouldn't you rather turn around to your aide and say, Charlie, get me the data on this, and Charlie will go to the internet and give it to him.
And then you sit there and wait.
Oh, but he's probably doing a million other things.
Yeah, it's still a little bit odd. So because then, as you know, as opposed to like Obama, who has actually got a video on YouTube apparently of his, he's so deep into his BlackBerry that he like runs into a street sign or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, you know, he's my generation, and that's what we do. I've probably run into some things on my iPhone. So,
well, I know somebody, speaking of people that age, I know somebody who met Donald Trump, and he doesn't have a computer.
Really?
He does not have a computer in his office, and he has a secretary who runs in and hands him a sticky note and says, this person's on the phone.
Yeah.
He's definitely not, and he's what? He's in his 60s, right?
Yeah, he's got to be.
So yeah, so.
Well, it does say here.
When you have a million assistants, do you really need it?
I would think you'd want it anyways.
I think you'd rather bark at your secretary to go find out.
It's kind of old school.
Yeah.
But towards your point, McCain is hardly the only prominent, wealthy, powerful man to lack an affinity for computers. Sonny Redstone, the 85-year-old chairman of Viacom.
Sumner.
Is not a valid user. He's capable of getting onto the Google, but doesn't do it frequently. I'm making that up. They didn't say that.
But that's a great quote. And he owns Viacom, an entertainment company, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
On the other hand, famed Broadway director Arthur Lawrence, 91, who's Gypsy, was now a hit on Broadway, is known to respond faster to emails than to phone calls. Robert Byrd, at age 90, that guy that's amazingly still alive in the Senate, he has a computer but prefers to speak directly to his staff, and he doesn't carry a BlackBerry, but he has a computer.
All right. There you go.
So anyways, I just thought it was, you know, the bloggers are having a kind of a field day with the fact that McCain doesn't know how to access the Google.
Well, here we can talk about another old guy who's definitely got computer savvy.
Really?
This one's really kind of interesting.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, no, I'm talking about an old guy. Okay, I'm talking about Ross Perot, who is 78. Wait, I'm going to try finding Ross's age here. So, yeah, 78. Ross Perot, 78. No, he is not trying to run for president again, but did you hear what he did?
No.
Or have you heard about parocharts.com?
No.
Okay, this is actually pretty interesting. I recommend everybody check it out because I was really surprised. It takes about 15 minutes. There's 35 graphs that explain in succinct terms, not political, about the national debt and why we're in really deep shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely... he wants American people to rise up and fight against the budget deficit. And in order to do that, he spent his own money and hired... a pretty famous person to put up this www.parocharts.com, and it is a website of nothing but charts and graphs and visual tools to put the $9.4 trillion debt into an easy-to-comprehend package. And I will say it is easy. He wanted to make it so simple that Forrest Gump could understand the debt. And it's a complicated topic, but he's made it really pretty simple. And it took me about 15 minutes to read through the 35 slides. And... it also has blogs. I mean, it's definitely, you can talk, you can, you have to sign up and become
you can blog.
Yeah, and you can talk to other people in the, it's very democratic. The first week alone, he had 300,000 hits, and he thought he would write a book, but he said, I'll get more coverage and more exposure if I put it online. So here's an old 78-year-old guy who understands the power of the internet.
He gets it, yeah.
And he gets it, right. So one of the things I thought was really interesting, we're spending $130 billion a year on the war, which is a big number, but if you take the total of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, it's $1.1 trillion. So even if you get rid of the war, look at where you are. Because I, I sort of am, I'm troubled by the war based on a cost of
state. Right.
So, he, and then on the website, he says why we're doing it, because we're running out of time to really solve the problem. And it's because of our aging population and rising healthcare costs. So... it's just actually very interesting, and this is what the graphs look like. I know you can't see them out there, listeners, but it's just...
Wow, they're beautiful.
Well, they're just really simple, and they're. But it just makes an a really you know, esoteric economic concept that we all pay taxes for, and yet, you know, people our age in our 40s, we always, you know, say, are there going to be any money for us when we really need it in our 60s? And the answer is pretty much no, as we know.
Yeah.
But some of the big findings, that what it really dissects it down to is that we're facing these huge deficits, and 38% of our tax, the government runs, we have to make all our mandatory payments and our interest on the debt, and then we run the remainder of our operations on 38% of our revenue, and then we have to borrow to get by from the rest of it, because that's how big the shortfall is.
Right.
So, and he just talks about the mandatory spending and the discretionary spending. And then he lists, you know, what the options are. There's five options. None of them are pain-free. We can restructure entitlements. We can raise payroll taxes and increase income taxes. We can borrow more money each year to make up the shortfall, cut discretionary spending, or enhance economic growth. And
wow.
He goes through all the reasons, the pros and cons of that, too. But it's actually a really informative, non-political website, and I think it's just really important that everybody check it out.
It's parocharts.com?
Parocharts.com.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a link on the website to it, too.
So some old men do get the power of the internet.
Or his aides.
So or told his aides.
Told him to do
told
this.
Told him he had to do it. Instead of writing a book, Ross, get out there and put it on the internet for free.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen him. Has he been doing the talk show thing, trying to promote it? How did you hear about it?
I saw it in the paper, but I think he did go online because this picture of him showing it.
Okay.
Remember in 92, he made a big deal about it. He had a 30-minute commercial to explain his proposal. So he's always been big on charts and graphs.
Right.
And I guess now he was figuring out, how do I get the charts and graphs to more people? And this was the answer. So.
Very good. Well, as you know, this is summer season. And we do have global warming, so it's hotter than ever out there.
That's right.
So I wanted to give our listeners a...
did you see Al Gore on Meet the Press?
I did.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
He was very good.
Yeah, he'd make a nice energy czar or whatever.
Make a nice president.
Well, yeah.
Surprise.
Gosh,
oh,
just imagine.
I think
imagine,
he was, actually.
Imagine the last 8 years with him in charge versus Bush.
It would be so different, wouldn't it?
It would have been so different. So much better. I mean, at least we'd have somebody, you know, we still have problems and issues.
Yeah.
These things come along. But I still...
It'd be interesting to see where we'd be energy-wise right now.
It'd be interesting to see. At least we'd have an intelligent person in there.
I know. Did you hear Bush's comment about Wall Street got drunk? Did you hear the off-the-record comment?
No.
He was at a fundraiser in Houston, and he asked everybody in the room to turn off their cell phones.
Yeah.
One guy or one person didn't turn it off and recorded him. And what he said was so incredibly candid. He basically said, Wall Street got drunk with all these problems and now they're facing the hangover and we're trying to see what we can do to help them out. I mean, it was just, it was ridiculous. It was really bad, but they're playing it all over the... No, all over TV now.
All over the interwebs?
On the interwebs, on the Google.
Is it on the Google?
It'll be on the Google.
So if I get on the Google, I could find it?
You probably could.
All right.
On your Facebook page, maybe.
You need to show me how I can get on that Google. Because it's too complicated for me. If I just turn on the button on the laptop, will the Google come up? Poor John McCain. Okay, so anyway, back to summer season. There is, I'm going to tell you about sunscreen.
Okay.
I'm a tan man.
You are a tan man.
So.
You've been using your sunscreen?
No. Okay. But I say.
So you're speaking from an expert position here.
Exactly. So there was a big study by the Environmental Working Group's second annual sunscreen report. It was launched last year. And they wanted to say what's good and what's not. The leading brands were the worst offenders.
Really?
None of the market leaders, Coppertone's 41 sunscreen products, met EWG's. The Environmental Working Group's criteria for safety and effectiveness, and only one of 103 products from Banana Boat and Neutrogena, which are the second and third largest manufacturers, are recommended. This is something to keep in mind. While the SPF rating on a product is helpful, it only refers to the sunscreen's ability to protect against UVB rays. A good sunscreen should have adequate protection against UVA, which we now know penetrates the skin more deeply than UVB and can also cause skin cancer and wrinkles. So anyways, these scientists at EWG looked at nearly 400 peer-reviewed studies of the 17 sunscreen chemicals approved, and they found that some popular sunscreen chemicals actually break down when exposed to sunlight.
Wow.
Which is kind of why they were designed for.
Yeah, exactly.
It really seems bizarre.
Put them on in the dark or in the shade.
So, and to try to enlighten our audience, here are the top five most effective and safest sunscreens, according to EWG. Key Soap Solar RX Therapeutic Sunblock. Keys Soap. I don't know which one is the... It's all one string of thing. I don't know what the manufacturer name. It might be Keys or Keys Soap. Trukid, that's T-R-U-K-I-D, Sunny Days Face Stick Mineral Sunscreen UVA UVB Broad Spectrum. Number three is California Baby Sunblock Stick No Fragrance. Fourth one is Badger Sunscreen. That's that one's easy.
Badger.
So go out and
get, you always think of badgers as tan animals.
So go out and get your badger. Number five is Marie Veronique Skin Therapy Sun Serum. Okay. So go out and rush out and get those.
I don't think I've ever heard of any of those.
No, I don't have any either.
Where do you buy them?
You may have to buy them online because I don't see those at my local Walgreens.
Wow.
The bottom five are Coppertone Lotion Sunscreen.
Not where to get that.
Yeah. Zia Natural Skin Care Daily Moisture Cream. Formula 405 AHA Day Face Cream. Gillette Complete Skin Care Facial Moisturizer. And Elizabeth Arden Ceramide Time Complex Moisture Scream.
Couple
more tips. Buy SPF 30 or higher. Make sure it's got at least 7% zinc oxide or titanium dioxide for broad spectrum protection. Avoid oxybenzone or benzophenone 3, skin absorption, allergies, hormone problems. Avoid spray and powder sunscreens. Inhaling sunscreens can pose extra risks. And avoid, that's interesting actually. I didn't know that. God, I would think the spray stuff would be more convenient, you know? Especially to get, we reach
effective.
Around and get the back.
Yeah, because you can get all the spots.
Yeah, so they actually say avoid that because you don't want to get any of it in your nose. Avoid fragrance because of allergies.
Hmm.
So there you go. That's your this and that tip, summer tip.
So will you be taking your advice the next time you're out there tanning? Going to get some badger?
I'm going to go ahead and look for some badger. It might be a nice thing. Yeah.
To light in night.
any more summer tips?
No, but I've got some health tips coming up later on in the show.
Okay. All right. Let's see. How about some local news?
Ooh, local, local.
Local news from good old Dallas. Hey, did you hear this week? You've heard T-Bone Pickens.
Yes.
T-Boone Pickens, excuse me.
I always say T-Bone, too, actually.
T-Boone. T-Boone in front of Congress this week, you know, and he's pushing his own energy plan.
Right.
Which
Al Gore was talking about it.
It's complimentary, but he really wants natural gas-powered cars and wind-powered energy, right? Electricity.
Right.
Whereas Al Gore is pushing for electric cars and all wind power.
Right.
Everything. but anyhow, T. Boone said when asked by Congress, apparently he was one of the few that predicted oil prices and where they are now.
Wow.
When they asked him where he thought oil prices would be in 10 years, and because he is an oil man,
right.
This is all he knows,
right?
This is his specialty. He said that he thought in 10 years it would easily be $300 a gallon, which I thought was really...
$300 a gallon?
Yeah, which it's... I've heard by a lot of economists it's going to easily get to $200 a gallon, which means that would translate to $12 to $15 a gallon gas for us. But he says, you know, it's just demand. Demand, right, yeah, right now. So he's just saying supply and demand.
A barrel, not a gallon. That's what got me confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I say it wrong?
I think you did.
Okay, it's $300 a barrel in 10 years.
Okay, and it's at about $139 now or something, isn't it?
Okay. It keeps fluctuating, but it had reached a high of $147 already this year. It's reached a high of $147, so I don't see $200 as being outrageous.
No.
And I've heard economists say if it goes to $200, that'll translate to $12 to $15 a gallon. And right now, even in Germany, it's $11. In Japan, it's like $10. I mean, it's already that.
Right.
You know, if you translate their liters to gallons, it already is that. So does
any public figures have any doubt that we need alternative sources of fuel at this point?
Well,
because
perhaps the Bush administration and their suggestion is offshore drilling. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's drill in the oceans. What the hell? Let's get more, and then we'll sell it to China. So,
yeah.
But anyhow, what this has to do with Dallas is it turns out that Dallas County has 980 vehicles, and almost every single one of them is a large pickup, a sport utility, or a van.
And so
fuel costs from 2004 to 2008 are up 160%.
Isn't one of the reasons that, you know, like a city, like a municipality would have, you know, big things is because they do, we cities do haul stuff, or...
Yes, that's what they were saying, but a lot of other cities are starting to get on the action and say, you know what, we've got to make some of our fleet, even 10% of our fleet, be hybrids. And Dallas has one hybrid. It has one lone little Priuses.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? But I just thought, I mean, 980 vehicles, and by the largest percentage of them, and the county's police cruisers, they get as many miles as a Hummer, which is about 11.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So it's just, the county is $830,000 over budget on fuel spending so far this fiscal year.
And I'll bet Dallas is representative of a lot of cities out there that have budgets for fuel.
Fuel, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, even look at school districts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the price of gas for buses. I mean, it's going up everywhere. So
right.
Ridership on DART is up tremendously, too. I read that in the local paper.
The answer here is to cut anything to do with libraries.
And pools. We have to cut the pools, right?
Yeah. No.
You have to cut the hours on
actually, we'll have... Oh, I said the library is halfway joking because one of our listeners, a librarian in North Carolina, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm struggling with the word.
I don't have enough context to guess the word.
Yes, I know. Anyway, she didn't like what I said about libraries.
Oh, she took offense.
She took offense. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
She said I had a tone where I was kind of like, when I went through my, how much it costs to go to the library.
Oh, because
she said it sounded like I was trying to get rid of it. But I didn't think I was, but anyways, she sent me all kinds of stuff about the power of libraries. And I haven't had time to go through it yet, so I will share some of that information with you. And next show, the case for libraries.
Yeah.
And then we'll really see if that's worth. What did I come up with? Do you remember how much I personally paid. I think I paid like
$300 and some dollars a year.
$300 and some dollars a year. So then we'll
for the library,
right?
That you don't use.
I don't use. Right.
Right. Right. But maybe so, after you read her argument, you will be down there. Well,
absolutely.
Well, when your spare time now too, you might be down there looking for a book.
Well, you know, if I didn't have Wi-Fi, I'd go down there and get Wi-Fi, and they have e-books. Right. That's one of the things she pointed out.
Right, they do have e-books.
Because they have e-books, but I need a lot of e-books to make up my $300 and some dollars.
Well, how much are e-books? Aren't they like 10?
Well, it depends. If they're public domain, they're free.
Oh.
But public domains are like the classics.
Oh, right. Well,
you know.
How many classics are you going to be reading Moby Dick this weekend?
Maybe. Well, you know what's not going up in price?
What?
This podcast.
Still a bargain.
Still a bargain at free. Hey, Vid, did you see Starbucks is taking out 600 stores?
Oh, a lot of companies are going to be closing doors this coming year.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to deal with Starbucks, though, because...
The one on Greenville is very controversial.
The one on Greenville is going away, and that only leaves 4 equidistant Starbucks left. For me.
So you can only walk before in I had to north, make it southeast, or west. You can't walk northeast or
exactly,
southwest.
Exactly.
You're never going to get to it.
Before I had one of 5 to decide, now I have 1 of 4. So I don't know what I'm going to do. That really does affect my life.
I think there's 29 in the Dallas area that are going
away. Yeah, something like that. And you heard that the one in Greenville is going away. Is that controversial?
Yeah, it was controversial because the community said that it was actually a community center.
Okay.
They're starting to try to keep that one. I don't know. I think they would probably say that about any of them. I mean, that all kinds of people meet there, from mothers to businessmen and community organizations.
It is. And I've seen that actually at that one. But I could make the same argument for a lot of them. Like the one at Lakewood has got a very Austin feel to it. It really does mimic the neighborhood of Lakewood. And that's very close to me too. And I would feel worse about that one leaving because it's got so much kind of character to it. But I don't know. I mean, what does it matter? I've got so many close by. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, but they're cutting, I think, 12,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have some health news.
Okay, so do I.
So there's a couple things interesting here. There is a new study.
No, tell us something uninteresting. We always like that.
Yeah, we don't have too many of those stories.
Well, except some people might think that.
I'm sure people in competing podcasts this one would think that all of our stuff is pretty boring. I can't tell you how much hate we get from all the other podcasters because of this show's success.
I bet you can't.
No, we get none. We get no hate. We get no love. We get no hate. Red wine was being looked at again.
Oh.
The chemical called resveratrol. Appears to protect against many of the health ravages associated with growing old. And they've done a bunch of animal research on this. And what's interesting is that they have actually compared this to, something I'll talk a little bit later on, this new sort of eating methodology about eating every other day. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get to that. But anyway, so the red wine, this resveratrol, as a popular compound, has more strong positive effects on preventing cardiovascular disease, reducing heart inflammation, keeping bone health in terms of structure and function, and maintaining locomotion and balance activities. Everybody's doing the locomotion. So it helps you dance, I guess. Most of our listeners would probably already have heard this because they should be getting their July 3rd issue of Cell Metabolism in the mail.
Course.
It probably was delivered already. So
right.
I'm probably saying old news. I realize this. But daily consumption of the compound, also found in the skin of grapes and the crust of peanuts and walnuts. Now, what would the crust be, do you think? Is the crust something that we eat, or is it like that inner part of the shell that we don't eat?
Isn't it the dark brown thing on a peanut?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Because
okay.
Some people take it off, but some people eat it.
I eat it. Now I'm definitely going to eat it.
Okay.
Dip it in my red wine. But it broadly, and this is interesting, Gretchen, broadly improved the long-term quality of life of middle-aged mice, although most mice did not end up living longer, so the quality of their middle age was better. So if you've got mice at home and you want to improve their quality of their middle age.
The quality of a middle-aged mouse's life.
I don't know.
It's in a cage, for God's sakes. How does it get any better? Does it go Google or something?
It goes to the Google. I think, obviously, they must measure quality by certain medical, you know, things.
Can you imagine being that researcher? I'm measuring the middle-aged mouse's life.
I know. Now, they've also noted, the authors for this study also noted that prior research has touted the healthy benefits associated with daily caloric restrictions between 30 and 50% below average. And this apparently has been in, we've known about this for 70 years, that if you reduce your calorie level to 50% below what you normally eat, which nobody ever does because we can't do that because it's really hard.
Right.
You are going to, and fasting diets do this, but you have to do this all the time. Such diets have been linked to a reduction in the risk of age-associated disease and stress, and also reduces cancer because it reduces the speed of cell metabolism and splitting up and so forth.
Because you're grouchy and tired and hungry all the time.
yeah, no kidding.
Nobody wants to be around you, so yeah. That sounds like a plan.
But back to the resveratrol, it improved overall without side effects for these mice. So it's only mice consuming the resveratrol alongside a high-calorie diet were found to actually live longer. So what that means, that's a little bit confusing, what that means is that an obese mice could live longer if he had the wine.
Okay.
But a good shape mouse, you know, would live longer. He just had better quality.
Okay.
Right. So, and they're saying it's consistent with some of the previous studies. Now, they talked about this caloric restriction, so I had to do some looking up of this thing. And this is really interesting. They have a new study by researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, shows that healthy mice, again, it's always mice, given only 5% fewer calories than mice allowed to eat freely, experience a significant reduction in cell proliferation, which is considered an indicator for cancer. The key, though, was that the mice eating 5% fewer were fed intermittently, 3 times a week, not a consistent 5 times a day. They compared this, they did a study about that kind of feeding versus a 33% reduction in calories, but every day. And they have found that it's so much better to give it more food, but just not as often. And
wait, are you saying they didn't feed the mice every day?
For the 5% reduced calorie level, they fed them intermittently once every other day. For the 30% below calorie level, they fed them every day just like normal.
Oh, okay. All
and right. They found the 5% less, because it's been known for 70 years that reducing your calorie by 30 to 50% can have lots of great health benefits. They know that in humans that's not practical. We would never do that.
Right. So they tried a 5%.
So they tried a 5% intermittently.
And they got a better bang for the buck than cutting 30%.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
Yes, that's where we're going. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
So
so how does that translate to us? What should we do?
Well, first of all, there's some speculations on the reasons for this. And they said that's because that's the way, look at lions. That's the way lions eat. Lions
you're right. Yeah,
go
absolutely.
Days,
they go days
and then
eating.
They get their big kill and they overeat.
Right. Or snakes too.
And snakes too. And mm-hmm. really probably most animals eat like that. And we're an animal.
Except herbivores, they eat constantly.
Oh, you're right.
Right, they graze
right.
all the time.
You're right.
They never, even at night, I mean, they
you're right.
feel like they're always eating. At least
yes.
when I saw them last year in the wild, that's
yeah.
what they were always eating.
You're right.
Because they, I think because it takes so much energy to generate that much, like elephants, they never stop eating because they need so much food a day.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, this guy, scientist, said animals in the wild regularly go through cycles of too much and too little food, though not by choice. So it is normal to have periods where we are not eating. But in domestic life, where we live, we have continuous access to food.
Right.
So a recent pilot study of 16 non-obese adults by researchers at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Louisiana found that eating only every other day was feasible when the participants successfully followed an alternate day fasting regimen for 3 weeks. However, the people also reported feeling hungry and irritable on their fasting days. What a surprise. The authors of the pilot study said that maybe by adding a small meal on that fasting day, like less than 20% of their calorie needs, might take the edge off. So this isn't proven to human beings yet. But it is very, very interesting.
So this is what you were talking about eating every other day?
Yes.
This is the survey.
Yes.
Oh, so 16 people tried it, and they...
It's really, really hard.
and it took the survey to say you're going to be irritable and tired on the days you don't eat.
Well, it's a better way to live, apparently. Well, again, it's proven to mice. It's not proven to humans.
Wow.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the seat or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
I have exactly the opposite fascinating story.
What do you have?
About waistlines expanding into the workplace. Have you heard this?
No.
What's going on with this? This is really interesting. Okay, so you know nearly 2/3 of American adults are overweight or obese. We've talked about that before. It's just really, really bad. A number of...
They just need to eat every other day. Right? What's the big deal?
And the rate that we're getting fatter is increasing tremendously. So we're getting fatter faster.
Cool. At least we're doing something right. Oh, no, that's wrong.
Obesity accounted for 27% of the rise in medical costs from 1987 to 2001. Obesity costs companies $45 billion a year. That's billion with a B. Obese people tend to miss work more, and they tend to be less mobile. And obesity is a powerful trigger for health problems like smoking and heavy drinking, more so than even smoking.
So, you know, we talked about this a little bit last year about the rising costs of how companies were trying to promote fitness programs,
right,
because they got breaks off their group medical coverage.
Right. Well, that's what this is saying too. So, if companies are looking for ways to cut billions of dollars, like think of the whole airline industry right now, none of the chief executives are coming out to say, wow, obesity is a big problem and one of the ways that we can do it, because it's clearly linked. I mean, there's...
Right.
But American employers know it's a sensitive issue to address head on, and some of them believe that it's not their problem to solve, particularly in industries with high employee turnover. I didn't realize this, but the average person now changes jobs every 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
And they take their health care costs with them. So for most companies, it's not a smart business move to tackle obesity head on.
That's interesting.
Right. And some companies, like you said, do cost-effective steps to encourage people to lose weight and keep it off. Some people are giving cash incentives. Some of them are giving them discounts at, you know, health clubs or reducing your health insurance premiums. But here's the interesting part. Guess what good old Japan is doing? I gotta say, I love Japan. They try anything. You don't think of Japan as typically an obese culture?
No, you don't.
You don't. But here, it's undertaken one of the world's most ambitious campaigns to slim down its citizens. Under a national law that went into effect 2 months ago, companies and local governments must measure the waistlines of Japanese people between the ages of 40 and 74 during annual checkups. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So we'd be going for our checkup and we'd be getting measured, and that represents 56 million waistlines, or 44% of the entire Japanese population. Those exceeding government limits of 33.5 inches for a man and 35.4 inches for a woman, and suffering from a weight-related ailment, they're given dietary guidelines if they do not lose the weight after 3 months. And those are identical to thresholds they set for the International Diabetes Foundation as a way to identify health risks. So the government is going to impose financial penalties on companies and local governments that fail to meet the targets. Because they're hoping to keep the spread of diabetes and strokes in check. And critics are saying that it's too strict and it's going to encourage over-medication, which will ultimately raise healthcare costs. But I thought it was really amazing that they got consensus to try it, because it actually seems like a bit of right to privacy issues here. You know, can you imagine your healthcare? Can you imagine that in the United States with 2/3 of the people having problems?
Though, we got to do something.
I know. I just got to say more power to Japan for trying something.
I know.
I don't know if this would be the answer in any other culture except Japan, but
I know.
You just don't think of them as being a heavy population.
I think what we should do when people are overweight, and they're obviously overweight, you can tell, is we should have absolutely the free right to just yell fatty at every fat person that you see. And that should be acceptable. In fact, that should be patriotic. Oh. Wouldn't that be fun? Fatty.
You're kidding. I think he's kidding.
No, Gretchen's not fatty. Well, interesting. I have two tales of two also communities that have been trying to sort of be Big Brother about health.
Oh, okay.
The first one is just see your city, New York City, the Big Apple.
What are they doing?
All chains, and a chain is defined by a certain thing.
Right.
Has to have the number of calories in the same font and color in the menu as the menu item.
Wow.
Yes. So that would be, so going, if you're going to go to New York anytime this year.
You needed a chain, like TGI Fridays.
Go to a chain, check it out. TGI Fridays, absolutely.
Go
to a chain. It'll be on the menu.
Wow, so the Bloomin' Onion is going to show up as 2,000 calories.
That Bloomin' Onion is going
to
be...
It'll be interesting to see if sales of those high-calorie items
drop
off.
Do you know what? Analysts are saying they don't think there's going to be a lick of difference. People already ordering the Bloomin' Onion know it's bad. There's no preconception. This is health food.
Remember we had that guy that kept arguing with me about salad dressing?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. The calories on a salad are
right.
Dressing. Right. And the guacamole, or the avocado.
Right. That haunts you to this day, doesn't it? Well, the other thing, this is from the Daily London Mail. Apparently, some researchers in England have suggested that slashing the number of holes in the traditional 17 holes on the top of the salt shaker to 5 holes could cut the amount of salt people sprinkle on their chips, fish and chips, by half. So they've actually, the government has, in like 5 cities in England, have actually...
cut the number of holes in the salt shaker?
Well, they've bought these new... 5-hole salt shakers and distribute them to places. And
these would be the pubs where the guys are drinking with their fish and chips.
Yeah, exactly. So one quote, this is just silly, a total waste of money in an area where council tax is very high. I'm all for good health, but do they really think they're going to stop people using as much salt simply by putting fewer holes? They'll just shake it for longer.
That's what I thought. Unless we're so lazy, our arms get tired.
Yeah. Let's see. A guy who owns Chip Chase Chippy in Linthorpe said a council worker had visited the previous week to explain the merits of less salty fish and chips. He said he had a salt cellar with 5 holes to give me free. Another local chip shop owner, Carol Ackerman, who runs Carol's Place in the suburb of Acklam, said, people will just put on more salt if they want more. In fact, we have some people unscrewing the lids to do so. So anyway, hey, at least they're trying something. I don't know if it's the most innovative idea I've ever heard.
It's so stupid.
Why don't they just glue the lids shut? They'll know use less salt.
Yeah, really.
Now, scientists have done one thing that's really good, though. Have you seen the good story about watermelon?
No.
Well, when you go see your boyfriend, bring him a watermelon.
I actually bought a watermelon last weekend.
Yeah. Was there a guy around?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
why?
Good.
Why? What does watermelon do?
You don't know?
No. Makes you pee?
No. Scientists in Texas say the juicy red fruit contains an ingredient that can spur the production of a compound that helps relax the body's blood. The body's blood vessels, similar to what happens when a man takes Viagra. Or a watermelon may not be as organ-specific as Viagra, but it's a great way to relax blood vessels without any drug side effect. This is a researcher and director at Texas A&M's. But the bad news is that you'll probably need about 6 cups of watermelon to get enough to have any effect. Now, 6 cups is doable.
Yeah, it's a couple big slices.
I would think so, yeah.
in a hot summer day.
I want to try it.
Try it. Gonna give it a go.
I want to try it.
It has the same effect as Viagra.
I don't know. I've never done that, but I just want to see what it does. I want to try some Viagra. No, some watermelon. Some
watermelon.
Baby.
All right.
So it's like if I have a big night coming up, it's like go out and get the watermelon.
But remember, it makes you pee. So because it is watermelon.
Yeah, that's true. And it doesn't say anything about the lag time. Like how soon do I have to have the watermelon? Do I have to be eating it while having sex, for example?
To get that full effect.
Honey, I can't stop eating the watermelon. It's going to be a problem. So, that's fun.
That is fun.
A watermelon is, I don't know if it's cheaper. I guess it probably
true.
Is. I don't know.
Probably is. Hey, I saw a survey of the America's Most Hated Foods. 75,000 people voted on AOL.
Really?
What do you think the number one most hated food is?
It's got to be broccoli or cauliflower.
It's not watermelon, man. It is not watermelon.
The watermelon went up a lot in the ratings.
That's right.
In the last month.
It's not watermelon. It's not broccoli. It's not cauliflower.
No. Lima beans.
That's number two. Very good. Number two. Yeah, all right. You're getting close. You're zooming in.
Gosh. Hated food.
It's a meat product.
No meat product would be the word most hated food.
Yes,
I would say liver.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, really?
That is it, liver.
Huh.
Remember, that's like an old person's food, like liver and onions?
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So number three is mayonnaise. Number four, number four, mushrooms. That's the one I hate. Number five is eggs, which I think is really interesting.
Oh, really?
Six is
eggs?
Eggs.
That doesn't make sense. Eggs is such a staple.
I know, but I guess some people either love them or hate them. Mm. Six is okra, seven are beets, eight are Brussels sprouts, and nine is tuna fish.
Okay, I agree with all those. Tuna fish is okay, but I don't eat tuna fish anymore because there's more healthy
fish as we talked about.
As we talked about, but...
Right. I thought that was funny.
That is something.
Number one, liver.
So did you hear about this executive from Dallas that they found him dead, like in the middle of the desert in New Mexico?
No.
Well, they thought that he was like murdered, because it looked like a murder scene. Then they found the gun not too far from him tied to helium balloons. And apparently what they think he had done is that he staged this to look like a murder. He tied the gun to helium balloons so that once he shot himself, because he committed suicide, the guns would be distributed someplace.
Oh, it floated away.
He covered his mouth with duct tape and shot himself in the back of the head.
Oh.
And apparently it could have worked as far as like having them thinking it was a murder, but I guess the helium balloons didn't take the gun very far. But isn't that bizarre?
That is bizarre. Was he trying to get insurance or something?
I don't know what the angle is, except maybe if you're going to the only thing I could think of is if you're going to commit suicide, why not do something interesting? I mean, what the hell? But I don't know. They did say, his life was in turmoil. His wife of 29 years was ill, and he had been caring for her for some time. He also recently lost some money in the stock market. Really?
Haven't we all?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Should we all run out and
find some helium balloons?
And some guns. No, let's try it. We'll say something else, like a bow and arrow.
I know.
In the back of the head.
It was an Indian.
Oh, and I have one funny thing, too. Did you hear about San Francisco? God love them. You know what's going to be on the ballot in San Francisco?
No.
A San Francisco group is asking voters here to change the name of a prize-winning water treatment plant on the shoreline from... Wait a minute, I gotta find it. From the Oceanside Water Pollution Control Plant to the George W. Bush Sewage Plant.
That's funny.
7% of the citizens of San Francisco are Republican, so the measure is pretty much expected to pass, and it's supposed to actually make a statement. That
they love George W. Bush there.
They just love George W. Bush. That and it would go into effect on January 20th. And there would be a... supporters plan to commemorate the inauguration with a synchronized flush of the hundreds of thousands of toilets that would send a flood of water towards the plant.
I would imagine that could not, that might be dangerous. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure that flushed at the same time.
I'm sure the system's not designed for that.
Right, and then the George W. Bush sewage plant would go down. So there we are. Another proud American tradition of poking political figures in the eye.
Wow, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've got to finish up the show.
Yes, we'll probably be back shortly, right?
We probably will be back shortly. Let's see, we're talking about libraries, and have you ever heard of Buffalo, Bohemian Grove?
No.
All right, you'll be fascinated by this story, as our users will be. Users or our listeners will be?
Users.
Well, maybe they're users too, but I won't presume.
They're using the Google.
I'll bet all of our users at one time or not, yeah, our listeners, why do I keep saying that, have one time or not used the Google.
Except John McCain.
I think John McCain listens to us. Do you think that Obama or John McCain listens to us?
Probably not. But maybe one of their aides, huh?
Oh, that sucks. I want to be heard. Obama, if you're listening, call me.
I think he's out of the country right now.
Yeah, he's on his big global tour, right. His big Middle Eastern tour. All right, well.
All right, well.
We'll see you cats and kittles soon.
Or listen in a couple weeks. We'll be back.
Oh, is this the time I'm supposed to sing my goodbye song?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Goodbye.
No goodbye songs. Bye.